Everyone who loves the Word of God, everyone who hates sinfulness, we're very disgusted with the what would I call the sinfulness or carnality of Jacob. He did some things that just not becoming to children of God. There's no excuse for his deception. There's no excuse for his plurality of wives. So many of his choices, though he was a child of God, I rejoice in that. But lots of his choices led to discord, envy, jealousy between the women, and it keeps us mindful of the fact that God, in his wisdom, teaches us one husband for one wife. Because that pictures that union of our Lord Jesus to his one bride, the church. He doesn't have many brides, he has one bride. And the bride doesn't have many grooms. We have one bridegroom, and that's the Lord Jesus. I officiated at that wedding, and it was a wonderful, beautiful wedding we had up in Michigan here nearly 2 weeks ago. And I spoke to the groom, and I said, you know, you stand here as a picture of our Lord Jesus. He's the bridegroom. And he loved the bride. And he gave himself for the bride. And I said, you're a picture. I told Matt, I said, you're a picture of our Savior. You stand here symbolic of him. One husband who loved this woman and gave himself to her, even as our Lord Jesus gave himself for his bride. And then I addressed the bride. And I said, you stand here as a picture of all the people of God, of all of the bride of our Lord Jesus, chosen from all eternity. And I said, you're being wedded to your husband now, and you're joined together in union. And you see, this is a picture of our Lord Jesus, and Jacob's actions just kind of mess that typology up real good. And yet, all that happened, even the evil in the actions of Jacob, would work together for the good of Jacob and for the good of his family and for the good of the family of God. Because as we read of Jacob in the scriptures, we realize he was just a sinful man. There wasn't anything special about him. And the scriptures, in the honesty as the Spirit of God sets it forth, the Spirit of God constantly reminds us in all of these men and women in the Word of God, they're just sinners like us. They're sinners saved by grace. And we don't want to fall into sin. We don't want to do foolish things that have a detrimental effect upon others. We certainly don't want to do anything that would bring reproach against the name of our God. But we do rejoice to know this. All of our sins are forgiven through the bloody death of the Lord Jesus. And even our missteps, even our sins, even the evil that we do, while they are wrong and we don't want to do them, we long to be free of this thing called sin. Yet God will still work out his purpose in all things, notwithstanding the things that we do. And we rejoice in that. You see, only God can bring good out of an evil deed. Only God can do that. Only God can work his purpose even in the evil things that men and women do. And as I said this past Lord's Day evening, nowhere is that more evident than in the death of our Lord Jesus. The people raised up their hands against him and they demanded his death. And they said, "We will not have this man to rule over us. We'll worship Caesar. We'll bow to Caesar before we'll bow to Jesus of Nazareth." And they hated him to such an extent, they wanted to put him out of business. We want his life. They tried to stone him, but they couldn't stone him because the providence of God and the purpose of God would not allow that to happen, because it was appointed he would die by crucifixion. He would be hanged on a tree. And the evil that they did, the vileness, the blasphemy of their words against him, and their hatred, and their judgment of the Son of God, all of these things were hideous sins. And yet, it all fulfilled the will of God, because the Savior had to die. It was for this reason that he came into the world. When Simon Peter took his sword and he cut off the ear of the high priest, servant, the ear of Malchus was his name. Our Lord Jesus picked up the ear and reattached to that man's head, and he said, "Put your sword up." First of all, he didn't need any defense. He didn't need anybody to defend him. The disciples had already told him, "Don't go to Jerusalem." And now Simon Peter, he pulls out his sword. He's going to take things in his own hands. He'll put a stop to this. And the Savior said, "No, for how else shall the Scriptures be fulfilled?" And the evil of men worked to fulfill the purpose of God. And that's what happened with the actions of Jacob. The evil of his heart. You say, "Well, yeah, but, you know, Laban, he tricked him and gave him Leah as a bride, and then Laban gave him not only Leah, but Leah's handmaid. And then he got Rachel for a second wife. And then Bilhah as her handmaid." Well, Jacob could have stood firm and said, "No, wait a minute, it's not right. This is not right." But he just went along with it. And yet it all worked out for the purpose of God. You know, I said it pictures the union of our Lord Jesus and his chosen bride. And the chosen bride consists of all those that God gave him in covenant grace before the world began. When God gave Adam a wife, taking her from Adam's rib, the man said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Now, I know in this crazy age in which we're living, it isn't politically correct to refer to a woman as a woman. She's a person. And we want to remain gender neutral in these things. Well, that's the idiocy of this world. That's how foolish this world is. Adam said, "This is woman, capital W." And you ladies, we're thankful for you. Remember this, God gave you to your husband to be a helpmeet. And the man still has the authority in the home. He's still the head of the household. That's the way God made him. Because the man, the bridegroom, is a picture of the Savior. He's the Lord. Now, we're not to lord it over over your wife. I'm not to lord it over mine, or you lord it over your wife either. But there's got to be a head. If you got two heads in a family, that's a monster. That's what you got. You got a two-headed monster. And that's what's wrong with so many families today. Wouldn't it be wonderful, and it'll never happen, but wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody went by the Scriptures, if everybody went by the Word of God? Well, God's people do, for the most part. For the most part. In this institution of marriage, there is set forth a wonderful and marvelous and so encouraging truth of the union of our Lord Jesus with His bride. You remember that Adam, when he's speaking of this union in Genesis toward the end of the second chapter, he said, "These two shall be one." We're joined together. Nancy and I are one. We're one. The same way with all the rest of the couples that are here tonight and the couples that are watching as well. You know, we've often, let me just give you this, and that side note. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. Let me show you this, and then I'll get back on track of the message for this evening. But after the fall of Adam, and Adam represented the human race. You know, when Eve was the first one who defied the word of God, right? She's the first one who ate. But nothing happened. Nothing happened because she wasn't the representative of anybody. She represented nobody. The representative, here's a good term to remember, the federal head of our race was a man, Adam. And God dealt with that representative man. He dealt with all of us in that representative man. When he walked with God, we all walked with God. When he fell into sin, we all fell through our representative. Well, we know that God, he promised that the seed of the woman was coming. And Adam believed that. Now, we've often spoken of verse 21 of Genesis 3, and rightfully we should. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins, and he clothed them. There's the clothing of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. But look at that verse just before that. And Adam, who back in chapter 2 called this woman that God gave him, this helpmeet that God gave him, he called her woman in chapter 2. Now Adam calls his wife's name Eve for this reason: she's the mother of all living. Did she have any children yet? No. What was the sentence that God pronounced upon Adam when he ate? Death. But you see, Adam believed the seed of the woman was coming. And as a result, there'd be life. Life. This is even before God illustrated the gospel. He believed God. Eve is the mother of all living. He believed the seed of the woman. And look back at chapter 2 and verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Typically, we think of the bride leaving her father and mother, right? That's where the emphasis is today. In fact, in most weddings, the emphasis is on the bride. That's the way it is. What the bride wear? What kind of veil she have? What was her gown like? We want to know all of those things. And that's the way it typically is in weddings today. That's all right. But in years gone by, it wasn't the bride who had the emphasis. It was the groom. And our Lord Jesus, He bears all the glory in this union. In this union. And I'll tell you this. You know, in many societies, marriage between a man and a woman is what they call an arranged marriage. That's true in a lot of cultures, even today. Certainly in the Indian culture, quite a few are arranged marriages. But it's the father and the mother who pick out the bride for the groom. They have a son. Well, we've arranged a marriage for you. Let me tell you something. Our union with the Lord Jesus Christ is an arranged marriage. And here's the one who arranged it. Our Father. Our Father. And the Lord Jesus, He left His Father and He came down here to dwell amongst His bride and then to live for us and to die for us in order to save us. And we rejoice in that. So go back to Genesis 30 then. So as to Jacob, he was certainly a sinful man. No question about it. A deceiver, a real scoundrel. His name means a planter. His life it's like a continual demonstration of his depravity. But isn't yours the same? So I live an upright life. That's what people see. You see, the scripture says man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. We have what the scripture calls heart issues. We have a heart trouble. The hidden things, you know, there are some people in religion, they consider themselves to be fruit inspectors, and they can determine who's saved and who's not saved because say, well, look at how he lives or she lives, or look at what they do or look at what they don't do. Well, people may live outwardly a very upright life and yet be the vilest of vile deep within, full of envy and jealousy and hatred and rebellion. But you can't see those things. But God does. God does. All of these things proceed from the heart. Jacob was indeed a sinful man. But he found mercy. And as I was kind of putting the finishing touches on this message today, it was very encouraging to me that if this man was an object of God's mercy, why not this man? And why not you? You see, this is God's specialty, the salvation of sinners. We do not claim any goodness. There's none good, no, not one. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. To do good really is to be perfect. And there's only one perfect one. There's only one good one, and that's our Lord. The scripture says there is forgiveness with him, that he may be feared, that he may be worshipped. Well, Jacob, he has these four women around him, each one kind of fighting for him, so to speak. And the polygamous family begins to grow. And yet, though this entire family was a horrific mess in many ways, yet God would manifest His grace to Jacob and to Jacob's spiritual seed. Leah immediately begins bearing sons for Jacob. In the births of these sons, we see the gospel and the history of a converted sinner. And I'll just give you these briefly and then get into the last four because I've already covered eight of them. Reuben means see a son. Behold the Lamb of God. We see him. We look to him. We look to him for all of our salvation. We look to his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. We look to his salvation to cover us, to robe us. This is a royal garment that he gives to his children. Simeon means see a son. And then the second one is Simeon, whose name means a hearing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is kind of a tracing the history of a child of God. We're birthed by the Spirit of God. We're born into the kingdom of God, and the first thing we do is behold the Lamb of God. He gives us sight. Prior to the new birth, prior to regeneration, we can't see. We don't see the beauties of our Lord Jesus. We don't see the need of him. But upon regeneration, we see the Son of God and we hear his voice. Simeon means hearing. And then Levi is the third. We're joined to him. We're united to him by faith. Faith which is the result of free grace. We're one with him. And of course that scene, that's one of the typologies noted in a marriage. In the union of a man and a woman. We're one. The couple, they're one. And what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And God has joined us to the Lord Jesus. And nobody can break up that union. Not all the powers of hell, not all the powers of Satan can destroy that union that we have with our Savior. And then Judah, his name means praise. We praise the Lord for his grace given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And of course, our Lord Jesus, he came through the tribe of Judah. Well, then Leah left off bearing sons, and Rachel's maid, Bilhah, begins to bear children. She bears, first of all, Dan, judgment. We take God's side in judgment against ourselves. You know, that takes the grace of God. To say, I agree with God in his judgment of me. I'm a sinful person. And I don't deserve the least of God's mercies. Jacob's going to say that. Judgment. And then Naphtali. To prevail in wrestling. Our Lord wrestled and overcame all of our enemies. We wrestle with the Lord. We're going to see Jacob wrestling with the Lord before long. In our studies, we wrestle in prayer. We commit ourselves to pray about something specific. And then Leah took her handmaid and gave her to Jacob. Zilpah. And she bears Gad, a company and victorious troop. Our Lord Jesus is the head of our troop. And we're more than conquerors through him. And then Asher, blessed, happy, joyful. We're joyful in Christ Jesus. Now let's look at the last four sons quickly. Leah again bears Jacob two more sons. And I've read it in verses 14 and 15. And let me just tell you this. These mandrakes, you say, what are these mandrakes? Well, they were thought to be a food that was an aphrodisiac. That is, it promoted fruitfulness in the womb of a woman. And so Rachel, she being barren, she thinks, if I had some of this fruit, if I had some of the fruit of the mandrake tree, then I'll be fertile and I can bear fruit, I can have sons. And so Leah says to her, well, you took my husband away. You want to take the mandrakes of my son too? And Rachel said, you give me the fruit of the mandrakes, you can have Jacob for a little while. They're as evil as he is. They're all a bunch of scoundrels. They're all a bunch of sinners. And we see this brought forth in lots of illustrations, but that's what they did. They agreed on that, and Jacob comes in from the field. He's worked hard, and Leah meets him and said, you're going home with me tonight. I got supper ready, and I got the bed ready too. And he does. He does. And sure enough, she gets pregnant with Issachar. And his name means one who is a hired servant. You know, when our Lord Jesus saves us by his grace, we become his willing servants. Lord, what would you have me to do? And we talked about the service of the Lord this past Sunday morning. It's to worship our God through the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. We're his servants. David said in Psalm 100, serve the Lord with, what do you say, gladness. I'm glad to serve him, aren't you? I'm glad to worship him. I'm glad to come together tonight. It makes me joyful that we can gather together. We sing of the blood of our Lord Jesus that washes us from our sins. And we rejoice to hear his gospel one more time. We're serving the Lord with gladness. We're worshiping him. Well, oh no, I have to go to church again. When we lived in Michigan, Nancy told somebody, well, I go to Sunday school Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You have to go four times a week? Does he preach the same message every time? She said, no, not at all. Well, why do you go? I want to go. I'm hungry for the Word of God. I want to worship. That's why we come together tonight, isn't it? We want to worship. Nobody twisted our arms. Nobody held a gun to your head and said, you got to go to church tonight. No. You're glad to come. You're glad to worship the Lord. You're glad to gather together with the saints of God and sing, Are You Washed in the Blood of the Lamb? And hear the Word of God read and listen to the gospel of redeeming grace, of sovereign grace. We're glad to do this, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity. It's something we look forward to. We're his servants. And then she bore another son, Zebulun, which means dwelling or habitation. Isn't it amazing that the Lord would dwell within his people? I and them, Christ said in his high priestly prayer to the Father, I and them and thou and me. And we read, Paul says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, then here's an interesting thing. In verse 21, afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. There was no fireworks then. And it could very well be, and commentators, some say he had other daughters. Jacob had other daughters by these women. Don't know. Scripture doesn't say. Why is this one mentioned? Because something's going to happen in her life later that will shed light on the reason that God had her cataloged here in the toward the end of the of Jacob's sons. Well, then, verse 22, God remembered Rachel. He never really forgot her. Can the Lord forget His own people? No. But sometimes we can get so down in the dumps, our spirits can become so low that we kind of think, has the Lord forgotten me? And it's like one old preacher said to another one when somebody was saying to him, I don't know if the Lord cares or not. Has He forgotten me? And the wise old preacher said, the Lord still knows your address. And I'll tell you, He still knows your address too. He knows where you live. He knows who you are. And He hadn't forgotten. Why, your mother or your father might forget you, but the Lord said, I hadn't forgot you. Your names are graven on my hands. I bear the marks of your redemption, of your salvation. I haven't forgotten you. You're right where I would have you to be. And the Lord hearkened to Rachel and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son, and she said, God has taken away my reproach. She called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. Another son. She said, my family's going to grow. Boy, and through Joseph it would. It would. And it reminds me of that passage in Acts chapter 2. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And it reminds me that we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then turn to Genesis 35 and look at verse 16. Genesis 35 and verse 16. And they, that is Jacob and his family, they journeyed from Bethel. And there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, that's Bethlehem. That's the house of bread. And Rachel, she travailed. And she had hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass as her soul was in departing. For those who think that we die as an animal dies and that's it, they need to look at this verse of Scripture. As her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. But Jacob, his father, said, No, we're not going to call him Benoni. Not at all. He's not the son of my sorrow. But his father called him Benjamin. He's the son of my right hand. Exaltation. Exaltation. And you see, here's the history of a child of God. It starts off with Reuben. See a son. Behold the Lamb of God. This is where our life as a child of God begins. As a result of regeneration, there's faith in our Lord Jesus. And then we go through our lives. And in the end, we're exalted. We're exalted. Benjamin means exalted, the son of my right hand. And my friends, you and I, who have been born again of the Spirit of God, who have been made to see that the Lord Jesus is all. He's all I need. He's all you need. Christ and His blood redemption. Christ and His righteousness. Christ and His saving grace. He's all we need. And the Spirit of God gives us life to believe Him, to look to Him. And in the end, we'll be exalted to His right hand. And we shall see Him face to face in glory. There's the history of every child of God in the names of the sons of Jacob. And so God, you see, brings good out of evil. And through these names of these men, the meanings of these names, God teaches us a gospel lesson. And we rejoice that He does. I'm thankful He's made us teachable. Teachable. And we rejoice in His grace. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the gift of life. The gift of spiritual life. By the very power of the Spirit of God. Who took the gospel of truth, the word of truth, by which He has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank You that through this gift of life, we look to Christ Jesus. We began our life as a believer with a look. It continues with a look, and one day it'll be consummated when we look into the face of our Lord Jesus and rejoice in Him. And in that day, all of your Benjamins will be gathered at His right hand, the exalted children of God. Thank you, Father, for teaching us, for showing to us what we are in ourselves, just poor Jacobs. And for showing to us what we are in Christ Jesus. We are the sons of God. Someday to dwell with our Lord forever and ever. And Lord, we know You've not forgotten us. You remember us. Sadly, we too often forget You, and Your name is not in our minds nor on our lips. Sometimes for hours at a time, and yet You continually love us. You bring us back to our senses, and we give thanksgiving for keeping in our minds and in our hearts that Christ is our all. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our Mediator, and He is our great Redeemer. Dismiss us with the loving kindness and tender mercies of our great God. We ask these things in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.